Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
So my message tonight actually is called We Are Family. And from that, just kind of zeroing in on holding each other accountable and how do we warn each other? How do we look out for one another? How do we help each other stay focused on Jesus? And so that's what the talk is about tonight. I don't see a lot of Bibles or notebooks, but if you have Bibles or notebooks, get them in your hand and get those out and get ready to write some things down, because I truly believe tonight that if you will engage, if you will receive, if you will take some things away with you, you will have 2 feet to stand on when it comes to pointing others towards a closer walk with Jesus. See, a lot of times people want to point people to a closer walk with Jesus, but oftentimes they don't know what they're talking about. Or they're operating under assumptions about Jesus, but they're not really true things about Jesus. Or something in their heart tells them that something is not quite right, but they're not sure how or why they feel that way. And so tonight, we're going to unpack some scripture and talk about how to kind of point each other to Jesus. Does that sound good? The verse that I'm going to be teaching from tonight is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It's the New Living Translation that I've got up here. This is like a Bible quiz, church. Do we have any quizzers in the room? Okay, so don't judge me for using the NLT. everybody else is like, what? What's he talking about? Quizzers know what I'm talking about. Hebrews 3:13. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Now, it's not that I see this group. It's not that I've heard stories about Rage. It's not that I've heard anything about East Lansing in general, about Christians being deceived. But what I have observed is a culture that I feel like I need to apologize to my kids for. Right? I mean, Pastor Anthony, you're a dad. I don't know if you feel that way. He's got 4 kids. We have 4 kids in our home. And I just say to you teenagers, I'm sorry. My generation did not do our job right for preparing our country, our community, or anything for you. We did a pretty good job of preparing this church for you, right? So you have us to thank for the church and the community that exists here. We've been working hard on that. But I am sorry for our political situation. I just apologize for that just up front. I am sorry for all the problems that we're handing you. I am sorry that when you turn on the radio or turn on the news, all the things that you see and hear. We probably could have done a better job of influencing culture. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are horrible ways to warn people about drifting from God. There are some good ways, and we're going to look at what those good ways are. And like I said, if you'll engage tonight, you'll get some of those good ways, and you'll be equipped to help people be warned against some of the things that are coming to attack them. You'll be equipped for it. But there are some horrible ways that people are warning people. Some of the horrible ways, I mean, I don't want to get into that too much because I don't like to dwell on the negative. But people's Facebook posts, I don't even think I need to say much more about that. Just horrible. Protest signs, it's not one of the best ways to warn people. And really, more specifically, angry Facebook posts are the ones that I always get a good laugh out of. I'll say one that maybe might be a little more personal, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody because I don't know. I don't know that there's any examples of this in this room. I just know how churches are, and I know that sometimes this happens. But I would say debating in inappropriate settings is a inappropriate way to warn people, right? And I was kind of joking with some of the quizzers a little bit ago. I was a quizzer at one point, so I love you. I'm really excited about studying the Word of God. I'm actually responsible for teen and youth junior Bible quiz in the state of Michigan, so I love it. I believe in it. But oftentimes it's the quizzers, you know so much, right? Because you study a lot, you're memorizing, you're hiding God's word in your heart, you're learning those questions, you're digging deep. And oftentimes it puts us in a place where we really are on the intellectual high ground, but being on the intellectual high ground does not always mean that you're on the moral high ground, right? And those of you that go to public school, see, I went to public school too. I went to Christian school and I went to public school for a while. Oftentimes in public school, you find yourself in a position where you have an opportunity to defend your faith. But defending the faith sometimes turns into just an argument. And sometimes it goes beyond defending the faith and sharing faith to a place where you're just arguing faith. And I would submit that that gets to a place where it's an inappropriate way of warning people. But the good news is I'm going to give you the appropriate ways of warning people tonight. And then the last little negative example I wrote down was, I just wrote down condemning people to hell. It's intense, right? Yeah, it almost sounds laughable. But the reality is, people without Jesus, the Bible tells us, are going to spend eternity without God in a place called hell. Now, we aren't the ones who get to judge that. We aren't the one. We can discern that, of course, because we have Scripture and a lot of different ways to know if someone's really living for Jesus or not. And first and foremost, have they given their life to Jesus? Have they made him Lord of their life? So that's like a really big, obvious, easy one. But it's not our job to condemn people to hell. And so there are lots of negative ways to warn people. Let's look at the good ones. Or let me give you some thoughts on appropriate biblical warnings. Here's another verse for you, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Now, there is one prerequisite that I need to give you that you need to understand before you can be appropriately equipped to point out someone's sin, to go to someone and say, hey, what you're doing is going to end in destruction. Hey, what you're doing, it's not of God. Like, hey, what you're doing, it's the opposite of what God wants in your life. There's a major prerequisite that you have to have before you can receive any of the teaching that I have for you tonight. And that is this. You need to understand that as a Christian, your job is to spread goodness. It's profound, right? You're like, oh, it's so deep, Pastor Josh. It just blew my mind. Spreading goodness. Yeah. It is. Like, think about that for just a second. See, some of you are ready to move on to the next thing because you're like, oh, yeah, that's a given. We don't do bad things. But then if that's the case, why aren't more Christians doing good things? You know, I joke about what the hard nose that Pastor Anthony was the week that we did, what's the big truck and the groceries? Convoy of Hope. We did Convoy of Hope in the city. And you might remember numbers, Pastor Anthony. It was on the news. 5,000 families were given groceries. You're like, well, did you share the gospel with them? We invited them to church. Did they come? Some? Not all. Well, how come you didn't share the gospel before you gave them the groceries? How come you didn't say, hey, if you're going to take this food, you got to come to church? Because our job is to spread goodness. And we went to the poorest of the poor communities in inner city Lansing. And we said, hey, this is for you. This is free. Bless you. See you later. What's this for? God loves you. Okay. There's a lot of immigrants that live in those neighborhoods, particularly. And I didn't know that. You knew that because you're the pastor there. But I discovered there were people from other countries, dozens of people living in one home who had all come. Were they there legally? Were they not? Should I build a wall around their house? I said, build a wall. Get out. You know, no, I didn't care because my job was to spread goodness. But Christians don't understand. Was that too? Particular. My wife's glaring at me. But this idea of spreading goodness gets lost so quickly once we start learning the systems that help us facilitate our faith. Like we just forget that our job is to spread goodness, to do good things, to be nice, not to be right, but to be kind. Not to win an argument, but to be salt and light. That's Matthew chapter 5, you're the salt of the earth. Luke chapter 6, love your enemies. That's profound right there. That's profound. when people say, how do you know God is real? My only, because I can, and we can get into, you know, creation and versus evolution and things like that. And I've taken classes on that, and I've watched the DVD series from Kirk Cameron, and I know all these different things. But in the end, I just look at him and I say, because Jesus gives me the power to love my enemies. No other philosophy or world religion does that. Not to tolerate my enemies, not to go say, hey, we'll have a peace line right here, and I'll be over here on this side of the wall. I'm talking about the wall again. I don't mean that at all. But you be over there. We just won't fight with each other. Kind of like the parents that, I don't know if your parents ever did this, they put the duct tape on the seat in the back seat of the car, and you don't cross the line to fight with your siblings. See, that's how we get along with people sometimes, don't we? We just say, well, we'll stay away. Those people are different. We fight with them. We don't get along. We'll just stay away. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they are. They use too much profanity. They don't respect me, so I'll just stay away from them. Well, that's not what Jesus said at all, did he? He said, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. So it's very, very different than our Americanized version of just keeping the peace. So again, this is all leading up to you having the power to point out the faults in someone else's life. And then Mark 12, the parable of the Good Samaritan says, love your neighbors and those who are religious and those who want to draw a line in the sand and say, you stay on that side, me stay on this side. Their response is, well, who's my neighbor? Everybody! Everybody that needs help is your neighbor. You can't ignore them when they're persecuted. You can't ignore them. When people act racist, well, it doesn't affect me because I'm white. Yes, it does. If it affects our community, it affects you because your job is to spread goodness. But here's the thing. A warning given in an un-Christ-like way will not be received. I'll say that one more time. A warning given in an un-Christ-like way will not be received. Number one, it must be given in advance. It must be given in advance. When you warn someone when they're already in their sin, you might be too late. If that doesn't mean you give up on them. It just means that the strategy might not be to warn them at this point. The strategy might just be to get on your knees. The strategy might be to say, hey, man, I see what you're doing. I know where you're going. I just want you to know, when you're ready, I'm here to talk. And in the meantime, I'll be praying that you make the right decision. But a warning says, don't go that way! But when they're already in it, they may not be willing to listen to that. Now, the Holy Spirit can give you the discernment to decide which approach is appropriate. But I'm just saying, once they're already in the sin, it's a little too late. I brought some pictures. So show the little, not that one, the little snake. See that little snake? If that little snake is creeping up on someone and you warn them, they can be like, oh, get away from the little snake. I mean, that person's holding it, so I'm assuming that's not a poisonous one. I was just trying to find online a picture of a little snake. But it's easy to warn somebody about that snake, am I right? I mean, from what it looks like, it seems like they could just even scoop it up and be like, oh, good, I don't want a snake in my house. How many of you would pick up that snake? How many of you would not? Yeah, okay. I wouldn't. Because I'd be like, man, I don't want to. I just don't like snakes. So it's easy to warn someone when their sin is just a little thing, right? Because it's those little things that will take root and turn into big things. We know that, right? This is mostly church kids. Is that a fair assessment? If you're like, what's a church kid? Just a kid that goes to church. So show the other picture. That's a man inside of a snake. I think it's Photoshop. Don't worry. Some of you are like, that's so disgusting. It is disgusting. But I brought it. It makes a great illustration. That's supposed to be a man who's been eaten by a snake. Now, does that man need a warning to watch out for snakes? It's a little late for a warning with this man, right? Like somebody should have told him when the snake was only that big to watch out for snakes. But once he's been consumed, it's a little late to say, hey, look out. Don't watch out. I know. I know, because he's in there going, where's your machete? And you're like, I don't know what you're saying. You've been consumed by your sin. Because a warning given too late is not a warning at all. A warning is not a warning if you're being devoured. It's a farewell. I'll say it one more time. A warning is not a warning when you're being devoured by your sin. It's a farewell. The good news of Jesus Christ is you can always come back. The good news of Jesus Christ is that there is deliverance and you can be set free. But we as Christians are given the instruction in Hebrews, our theme verse tonight, Hebrews chapter 3. We must warn each other every day. And then the next phrase is, while it is still called today. In other words, while it's not too late. So the writer of Hebrews is recognizing there comes a point where warning people is just too late. It's too little, too late. A warning, I added this little bit to my notes. A warning given too late is just condemnation. You know, you're back to the guy and the snake. You're stupid. You should have stayed away from snakes. That was dumb. You know, you're just condemning the guy. Number two, a warning must be given by the qualified. A warning must be given by the qualified. An unqualified person giving a warning is going to cause more harm than good. An unqualified person, an unchristlike person, an uncaring person giving a warning is going to repel people from Jesus, not lead them back to Jesus. So let me give you a little list of things that make you qualified. Loving someone and having built a friendship makes you qualified. Like, well, I've only been serving Jesus for a few months, so I don't know if I'm really qualified to help people watch out for sin, and I don't know if I'm really qualified to do that. You know what? If you love someone, and if you've built any kind of friendship with them, and I'm not talking about, well, we've been on, like, 3 spring breaks together. We've had every class together since, you know, third grade. Not even that level. Just simply looking at another person and saying, you know what? I love them because Jesus loves them. That qualifies you to give a warning. Love for Jesus makes you qualified. So Christians, you are qualified to give a warning. You must do it the right way. Here's some more good stuff. Knowing Scripture makes you more qualified to give a warning. Being able to teach and understand Scripture, being able to rightly divide the Word of God makes you even more qualified to give a warning. And then the last one there. Living a Spirit-filled life makes you the most qualified. The Spirit-filled life. The fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life to where it's overflowing. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Being so in love with Jesus that you want more and more and more and more. And for some people, it happens quickly, and for some people, it takes time. But that baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that makes you the most qualified. When you're walking daily in the Spirit, like Paul says, continue to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Continue to be filled and full of the Holy Spirit. Makes you the most qualified. So a warning must be given by the qualified. The third thing is this. A warning must be encouraging. Like, there must be an encouraging plan of exit from the sin. There must be an encouraging word that says, this is the direction you can go. It cannot simply be, dude, you're going to hell. Remember I said condemning to hell? But how many of you can think of people that might need a warning for things that really are real? You know, I think, here's what I think. As a youth pastor for 14 years, I think, because the youth pastor doesn't always see it. Like, I oftentimes by the time the youth pastor finds out about it, it's too late. Right? Because I find out about someone struggling with depression when they're threatening suicide and won't come out of their room. That's when I get the call. Right? But as their close friend, you know, hey man, I noticed that music you're listening to. Now, I'm not trying to judge you, but it's just really dark, and it feels like that's all you're doing anymore. You didn't come to Rage last night, and you said it was because you were just in your room alone. Or, hey, man, I saw on your phone the other day, you were texting so-and-so, and listen, I hope you're reaching out to him, but listen, if you think that that's a life-giving relationship, you're wrong. That relationship's not going to build you up. But we need to reach that person, right? Or something darker. You know, that party that you were at the other night, man, please don't misunderstand. I don't want to judge you. But because I love you, I got to tell you, I don't think you can go to places like that and let your light shine. Those are the kind of relationships we need to have with people to bring them to church, not go to the dark place. So you see how we can all see the same thing, but there's a Christ-like, caring way to go at it, and then there's a way that pushes people away more, right? And then there's the other thing that really is dangerous, and it's not in my notes. I'm just realizing it as I'm processing this in this moment with you guys. It's the do nothing. What could be more uncaring than to see a downward spiral and do nothing? Well, I don't want to offend. It's not my place. You know, I made the joke earlier. I'm white, so racism doesn't, you know. I said it to be funny, but it's true. We can't stand by and watch injustice.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.